From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. As promised, we're broadcasting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Yesterday, we were in Michigan, had a great event there last night. Tomorrow, we'll be hosting a briefing for pastors at Unionville Baptist Church in Unionville, North Carolina. Then we'll be jumping on the Values Bus later this week for a series of stops. Also, Sunday, I'll be at Christian Faith Assembly here in Charlotte. To find out more about the Values Bus and how you can connect with us, go to valuesbustour.com. That's valuesbustour.com. All right, the FBI is set to deliver its supplemental report on Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Senate today. Will this be enough to satisfy opponents of Judge Kavanaugh? What will be their next line of opposition? And will the Senate vote this week, as Majority Leader Mitch McConnell stated on Monday? Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe joins me in just a moment with answers. And with all that is happening in America, we shouldn't need to be reminded that it's time to pray. But unfortunately, prayer is often the last resort when all else fails. My good friend, Pastor Carter Conlon, senior pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, is here to discuss prayer and his soon-to-be-released book entitled It's Time to Pray. Also, the trade dispute between China and the U.S. is increasingly spilling over into the military domain with a risky incident in the South China Sea just recently. We'll talk with Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, about the dangers of the amplified tensions with China. And we'll be taking your phone calls a little later here on Washington Watch. You can weigh in on the Kavanaugh confirmation. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. And here, let me remind you once again, take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. Go to PrayVoteStand.com and take the pledge. Pray for the nation. Commit to vote in the midterm elections and take the pledge to stand for the values that made America great. All right, if the FBI clears Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct allegations this week, 60% of Americans want him confirmed to the Supreme Court. That's according to a Harvard Caps Harris poll. That report from the FBI is slated to be delivered to the Senate today. With us now is Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma to help sort through the latest on the confirmation process and the FBI investigation. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Nice to be with you, Tony.
Well, have you has the report made its way to the Senate yet?
Well, it's en route right now. It's actually, I think it's here now. They're putting it in a form. They've offered it to everyone, not staff, but just members. And my reaction was, tell us if there's not a bomb, because I don't think there's going to be any problem with that. Although what I don't want to happen, Tony, is for this to be used as another stall tactic. We've had every excuse to stall. You know, at first they said they wanted to wait after the election, then they said they wanted to wait to after all this, and the delays are now to the point where we're already, and all of the investigation that is going to be done has been done. So, answer your question, I think as we're speaking right now, it's arriving.
Well, you talk about the delays, the tactics that have been used. As you mentioned, it was, well, we need to wait till after the election. Then it was, we need more documents. Then it was, well, we need
and
to
then
hear
it was,
from.
We have too many documents, if you remember.
Right, right. We need time to read them. Then it was, we need to hear from Dr. Ford. Accommodations were made for her to come and testify, Brett Kavanaugh to testify again. And then not even listening to the testimony in that hearing last week, last Thursday, it was, well, we need an FBI investigation. So they will soon have the FBI investigation on their desk. Now, this will be the seventh background check investigation into Brett Kavanaugh. What do you think will be the next delay tactic?
I think it's important at this point to point out that the FBI doesn't do that kind of investigations. That's not, in fact, that's not in their purview. But we went ahead and said, go ahead, do anything you want to do, but we have an absolute deadline. That deadline is going to be at the end of the week. So we have to, the interpretation of end of the week is Friday. So we're going to be doing it on Friday. And it's important for people to know, because I'm beginning getting a lot of complaints saying Republicans are not doing this right. It's their fault. Well, let's keep in mind, we were set up to have this done a week ago, and just one senator from Arizona had said, no, we want to have another investigation, and he has the leverage. Just keep in mind, Republicans have a majority of one. So if one Republican says, well, if you don't do this, I'll vote against it, then obviously we have to do it. It'd be far worse to vote and lose the confirmation in a vote by one vote than it would be to delay it and then until we have all the votes lined up. So that's how we got where we are right now. And I just want to say, I want to redeem the Republican Party, because I have to say that Mitch McConnell and the leadership of the Republican Party have really been doing a good job. Chuck Grassley's been doing a good job, and we're going to get this over with.
I would have to agree with you on this when it comes to the courts and the confirmation of these judges. I cannot at this point in time imagine anyone having a more difficult job than Mitch McConnell trying to, as you said, with no margins, being able to work through one of the probably, I would say, one of the most contentious confirmations for the Supreme Court, probably in the history of the court, given the balance of the court could now shift to, being a court that's dominated by strict constructionists who will not use the court to shape policy. Let me ask you, Senator Inhofe, based on your conversations with your colleagues, knowing that there's the one Arizona senator, Jeff Flake, who has been really kind of the obstacle, so to speak, for the moving forward on this. Are the votes there? Do you believe the votes are there?
The votes are there with his vote. And the commitment that was made, as I understand it, if we would go through with the FBI check, that would satisfy him in terms of having his vote. Again, I thought this was true a week ago, and it turned out not to be true. I think one thing, Tony, you and I are probably assuming that the people who are listening to us right now are all aware that everything that's happened up to now, the first one, this Dr. Ford, the statements that she made were all checked out. No witnesses agreed with that. Then along came Ramirez, the same thing. This is the one where he supposedly exposed himself and all of this. They checked with everybody. Not one person came. And even the witnesses that Ramirez herself and Ford before that had recommended that we talk to, and then they didn't know what they were talking about. Then, of course, Swetnick, that accusation has never been cooperative with anyone. However, they certainly have interviewed all of these people that they had access to, and so far, not one. And I shouldn't say so far, because there isn't anybody out there. This stuff didn't happen. It was an attempt to ruin a guy's reputation. But keeping in mind, the stakes are so big for Democrats who want to have a liberal court, and they see this disappearing. Just look at the decisions that were made since we were able to get our first judge over. And it's remarkable, and that's why they're so concerned. I have to remind people all the time, when you get a president like Obama, yeah, you can object to the things that he tries to promote and pass legislatively. That's not important. What's important are the judges. I've got 20 kids and grandkids that I want to make sure we have judges lined up to take care of America and them during their tenure.
Well, what you want is a court that's not going to impose the policies of the left like they have for the last 60 years. A good example of what you just pointed to with Judge Gorsuch being on the court is that the Supreme Court refused to take a case out of, I think it was the Sixth Circuit out of Tennessee, where Tennessee, the voters of Tennessee had approved Amendment 1. It was almost two decades trying to amend the state constitution to say that there is no, that the state legislature could decide what the policies were on abortion, allowing for waiting periods and just practical things like clinic regulations. The Supreme Court refused to take that case, allowing a lower court decision to stand, saying that that is a valid constitutional amendment. Just think, if Hillary Clinton had won the election and appointed... Yes, you're absolutely right. And that's what's at stake here, and I think people need to keep their eye on the ball. I mean, as you said, none of these allegations have proven true. In fact, Senator, it appears that there could be some perjury that has taken place here by some of the claims made. And I wonder if there are false claims that have been made in testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, will actions be taken?
Yeah, I think the first thing to do is get them confirmed, get them on the bench, then go back and look at those because, you know, first things first, we want to make sure. As it is right now, Tony, I can't foresee a problem that will keep us from doing it on Friday. And so I think as soon as that gets behind us, let's go after anyone to kind of make sure people know they can't get by with this
right.
in America.
It's important. It's important, especially for the future.
Really, it's important to remind people what's on the line here is a standard of innocent until proven guilty that's been there since forever. And that was what would be the fear of overturning. So it's a big deal. We want to get it over with. And it just shows how desperate true liberals are.
Yeah, and people need to keep reminding themselves of what's at stake here when it comes to the court. We're not looking for the court to craft policy and impose our view on America. We're looking for them to leave us alone and allow the elected representatives and the people to decide the course that we want to take as a country. Let me ask you this question, Senator Inhofe, about the FBI report. Both Senator Cornyn and Lindsey Graham have called for at least some of the FBI assessment to be made public. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it should be. Now, it's a reasonable request for them to have it go to the members first. That normally is something that happens, but I think that's very reasonable that it goes to the people because there are a lot of people when this is over that are going to they're in the halls right now. I can hear them outside my office. They're going to be outraged. They're going to be yelling and screaming and I think the more you can have out there so that people realize the truth. Now, it's happening. This is kind of interesting. Yesterday, I was on, what was I on yesterday? Neil Cavuto's show, and they announced something I didn't know, and that was Heidi Heitkamp's, the polling that took place in North Dakota, and she was down 10 points, and that's right. where they came up with this 60-30 in terms of once people realized what had happened, the poll showed up there that 60% of the people supported the judge, 30% of the people did not. Now, I know by coincidence, and I said this yesterday on that show, that's the same exact percentage as we find in West Virginia. So there has been a wake-up call, and I really believe that we think justice has been served on this. We think it's going to be over soon. We'll be happy with the results.
Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, always great to have you on the program.
Thanks so much, Tony.
All right. Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. You know, just to drive the point home about the connection with the left, the court, the crown jewel of the activist court has been abortion. Every one of the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee have been given money by Planned Parenthood. In fact, I'll talk about that a little bit later. I've got the numbers. It's quite telling. All right, when we come back, it's time to pray. Carter Conlon, senior pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, joins me with a kind of a preview of a new book he has coming out right after the election called It's Time to Pray. I hope that's not prophetic. Coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Let me remind you to take the pledge, to pray, to vote, and to stand. And speaking of praying, with all that is happening in America, we should need to be reminded that it's time to pray. I mean, you look at what's happening. We were just talking about with Senator Inhofe about the court. I mean, if you've watched that drama in the last 3 weeks, you see how divided we are as a nation. It is time for America to pray. But unfortunately, prayer is often the last resort. It's when all else fails, we fall on our knees and we pray. Well, my good friend, Pastor Carter Conlon, senior pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, has a new book that's coming out very soon, about a month, and it's entitled It's Time to Pray. And he joins us now. Pastor Carter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how are you? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing quite well, and I'm thankful for the pre-release copy of your book. I'm actually reading it. I was reading it on the plane this morning. And I get so many different books, I don't have a time to read them all, and I'm not a fast reader. I'm a thorough reader. And I'm reading your book because prayer is really, I would say, it characterizes who you are, because I've seen you, I've watched your ministry. It is very focused on prayer. Tell our listeners kind of the motivation behind this book, It's Time to Pray.
Well, it was something that the Lord put on my heart because in large measure, I feel that as a nation, we are in severe trouble right now. I think deeper trouble probably than most people realize. I've lived long enough, having been a police officer, and to realize that we're probably on the precipice of violence in our society now. And throughout my life, I've gone from place to place, as the Bible says, from image to image, and glory to glory by the Spirit of God. He's taken me and made me into much more than I could have ever hoped to be in myself, and given me victories I could never achieve by human effort. And realistically, Tony, it's just all come through prayer. And it's my hope that if I share the experience, if I share the honest parts of it, the struggles, the trials, the difficulties, the mercy of God that's come to my life because of prayer, that it might spark people to start to pray again. And to ultimately, my hope is that we would experience another spiritual awakening in this nation.
You mentioned you were a police officer. In the book, the focus is on prayer and Jesus discussing that, actually talking to the father who had the son who was demon-possessed and said, you know, these type of things don't happen except by prayer and fasting. But in the book, you're very candid about your own personal journey in coming to know the Lord and how prayer has played a key role and how it hasn't happened overnight, but you've seen God answer the prayers that you've prayed throughout the course of your Christian walk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I came to Christ, Tony, I was bound by fear. I couldn't even walk in a classroom in a college. If I was singled out, I would panic. I'd have to run out of the room. There's a lot of reasons for that. I don't have time to go into all of that, but just through prayer, I was set free. The Lord started teaching me how to love people because I didn't love people or myself. Taught me again how to be, brought me through into another place where I learned how to be a husband and a father and helped me get over some of the struggles and issues in my own life. And ultimately ended up on a platform in Africa speaking to 500,000 people that were involved in a civil war. And I share the journey from beginning to end, and I share the, I call it the warp and the woof and all of the struggles and trials, the good, the bad, the ugly. I think to encourage other people to believe that if we pray and believe the promises of God, it does take our lives on an incredible trajectory that can bring honor to his name. And we need this again. We need this as a people. The church of this age need this. We have to get out of the powerlessness of our present Christian profession and get back into a place where God is really manifesting his victory to us for the sake of others, realistically. It's been an incredible journey. And I didn't write this to sell books. I don't even take royalties from any of my books. They all go, every dime goes into a missions fund for human suffering. So I don't want ever there to be any suggestion that I'm doing this to make money. I'm not. I want people to learn how to pray. That's the passion in my heart because it's been an incredible victory in my own life. And we need to rediscover it again in the church of our present day, because if we don't, Tony, I'm really, really concerned about the future and what's going to happen to this country.
I know that's the case with you. I've known you long enough, and I've watched you, and prayer is the is just really at the core of your ministry. And I will say this: I don't want to give away all the aspects of the book because I want people to get it because it's a great inspiring book. But I was really touched by the account of your father and how praying for him and being able to pray with him right before he slipped into eternity was a very encouraging, inspiring, and touching account that you shared in the book. Let me, before we run out of time, Pastor Carter Conlon, let me ask you this. You know what's happening. You mentioned a moment ago about where our nation is divided. We've seen it with this political theater over the Supreme Court nomination. What do people need to be praying right now?
We need to be praying for a spiritual awakening in the nation. We need to pray that we need to take authority again. You know, the scripture tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. They pull down strongholds and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we don't stand up in prayer against this onslaught of godlessness, it is going to turn to violence. I have traveled throughout Africa. I've spoken with pastors. I know the roots of the violence that got into Burundi and got into Rwanda, for example. I've spent a lot of time. I spent time with the president of Rwanda talking to him about some of these things. And we are seeing this same kind of rhetoric is coming up in our media now and across the airwaves that is now actually encouraging people to violence. And it's a very, very short step from when that begins to having actual violence in our cities and on our streets. And we are there now. We are at a very, very dangerous point in this country. And as the people of God, we either have to rise up and retake the reins of what was once a great nation, or this nation is going to be lost into a darkness that is, it should terrify every believer in Christ. It really should.
It's time to pray. No question. Pastor Carter Conlon, thanks so much for being with us. Folks, don't go away. We're right back after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you'd like to get a pre-order copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, you can go to itstimetopraybook.com. itstimetopraybook.com. Comes out November the 6th in bookstores. Even Walmart's going to be carrying the book. It's Time to Pray, a very timely book. And Pastor Carter Conlon, as I said, he lives that out. All right, a U.S. Navy ship had an unsafe interaction with a Chinese warship Sunday while the U.S. vessel was conducting a freedom of navigation operation near the disputed islands in the South China Sea. The U.S. ship had to maneuver to prevent a collision, according to U.S. defense officials. Now, this is all on the heels of these increasing trade tensions with China. Is this spilling over into the arena of the military? With us now, Congressman Steve Russell. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Oklahoma, and he serves on the House Armed Services Committee. Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks, Tony.
All right. Do we see these trade tensions spilling over now into, you know, the military arena with China and the U.S.?
Well, I think what you see in the South China Sea is kind of an ongoing dispute that China is developing these reefs, claiming that it's sovereign territory. These are international waters. They have one-third of the world's commerce that passed through them. It's a huge figure when you look at I think it's roughly $5 trillion worth of trade that flows through that area. And because they're international waters, what a lot of people don't realize, Tony, is that the United States Navy is the only force really in the world that secures free trade and commerce around the globe. And we have always stated that it is our policy that these waters will remain free. And we do right of the sea patrols through there. You see more aggression from China in this regard. They want to claim a 12-mile territorial waters around each one of these dotted man-made islands. International conventions at The Hague and others have ruled against China in these disputes, particularly recently against Philippines in the Treaty of the Law of the Sea, which we are not a signatory to, but nevertheless, China is, Philippines is, and they ruled in Philippines' favor on one of these disputes. But regardless, the United States policy has been very consistent. Whether we've had a trade war or not, we're going to keep these sea lanes open.
So is this a policy or a decision that would be made really from the top down, or is this commanders, captains of these various vessels making these decisions?
No, this is ongoing military operations that we've done under Republican and Democratic presidents for years. This is not anything new.
I'm talking about the Chinese and their aggressive actions. Do you think this would be the actions of one?
There's no doubt that just like our military is subject to control, in our case, of a representative republic and civilian authority, by the same token, their military is under guidelines and instructions from their central government with the nine ministers, with the communist form of government that they have. So I would be shocked if the assertiveness that we see, whether it's like Russia and bear bombers, pushing the envelope to fly into U.S. airspace and be escorted out, it's the same thing here. There's no doubt that they are pushing the envelope.
Congressman Russell, let me ask you, what's at risk? If we had a collision where a Chinese warship collided with one of ours, what could that lead to?
Well, you have the case that if you don't have cool heads and cool commanders in these types of situations, it can lead to, you would have a very unfortunate incident where the sailors or airmen or whoever it might be involved, it's very nerve-wracking and intensive for them, or it could result in a local one-time conflict between those, whether it would lead to something further. That's when people double down on pride and sometimes double down on stupid. And before you know it, you've got politicians, rattling sabers, and these things can really take off in a dangerous direction. There have been incidents where things happen. Missiles are fired. Wrong things are hit. Mistakes are made. We saw examples of that with Israel when they attacked one of our warships during all of the tensions that were in the 1970s. I believe it was the case of the USS Stark. That was a problem. Israel was an ally. At the same time, we got one of our warships hit. Things have a tendency to be able to be worked out. But you have tensions there, Horn of Africa. You've got tensions in the Straits of Hormuz with Iran. But the United States Navy is always out there making sure that international waters stay international. But look, we don't need to make China an enemy. We just don't. And now, we're not going to ever not patrol free international waters and keep them free. They have to know this. But at the same time, we need to continue to work in the areas of trade. With our four instruments of national and international power, we don't do a lot diplomatically together, although we are on North Korea, and that's been good. We don't do an awful lot with information and intelligence. We're usually competitors. We don't do a lot with our militaries. In fact, we're canceling exercises and different things. We saw a helicopter carrier not allowed to go into Hong Kong here recently, and so it went to elsewhere. But the only area that we do build relations is economically, and if we cut that cut that last tie, then guess what? It could isolate us even
ugly,
further, which is not
yeah, good. Quick. Congressman, we got to leave it there. Congressman Steve Russell, thanks so much for joining us. Folks, don't go away. Coming back with your calls next.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. As I said, we're broadcasting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to be hooking up with the Values bus that is traveling to about a dozen states. To find out if it's coming to a town near you, go to valuesbustour.com. That's valuesbustour.com. Okay, we're going to go back to the topic of Kavanaugh. The FBI report, as we heard just a little bit ago from Senator Inhofe, has made its way to the Senate. It's being, collated, and put in the proper format and being sent out to the senators to review. Is it time for them to move on? Earlier in the week, on Monday, Senator Mitch McConnell, Majority Leader, said they would be voting this week. That process could begin tomorrow. In fact, by the weekend, by the end of the weekend, it is possible that Brett Kavanaugh could be seated on the Supreme Court. What do you think? Is it time to move forward? Enough delay? What do you think that might be the next excuse that's used? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let me remind you to take the pledge, okay? I hope you've taken the pledge. It's real simple. Go to PrayVoteStand.com and take the pledge. Pledge to pray. Pray for the nation. Pledge to vote, not only in the midterm election, but every election. And pledge to stand. Stand for biblical values, those biblical truths that this nation is built upon. And you will receive each week, we send out a prayer guide. Today, in fact, this week, we're praying for the church. And I think next week is education, but this week we're praying for the church. And today's focus is unity. Pray that Christians would be united as one, as the Father and Son are one. Ask God to empower believers to be unified in the understanding and application of God's truth. And our scripture for today is Psalm 133 and John 17. But you'll get that in your inbox. Just take the pledge. Go to PrayVoteStand.com. I wanted to mention this before we go to the phone lines. I wanted to mention, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to go back to it. CNS News just uncovered a little interesting tidbit The Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee who are fighting Kavanaugh, the fiercest, are the ones getting the richest off of Planned Parenthood's political donations. Turns out America's biggest abortion business, its employees and their families, have been surprisingly busy writing checks to liberals on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Nearly $30,000 this year alone. All told, Kavanaugh's committee foes have raked in a whopping $126,866. Coincidence? I think not. That's at the tip of the judicial activism. It's the crowning jewel of judicial activism. And that's what this fight is about. It is about the left knowing they have to have the court to impose things such as abortion on demand, the redefinition of marriage, the removal of the Bible and prayer from public life, all of those things that not a single legislative body, with few exceptions, have ever decided. It's all been by the courts. They know they must have the courts. And this is the first step in a long journey away from judicial activism. All right, 866-372-7234. And let's go to Tim. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Just wanted to say that I definitely support Judge Kavanaugh being confirmed. Unfortunately, I don't see what they've been trying to hold on to. I'm a retired detective that worked domestic violence cases. There's no evidence, nothing to substantiate other than a he said, she said. They're just trying to make something almost like taking gossip for fact and running with it. Mm-hmm. And what I liked what you said was, we're a country that was based on religious principles, and they're trying to steer us away from that, and anybody that's going to keep us back on that track, our founding fathers based our laws on the Ten Commandments. Our founding fathers, who they tell you were deists, but they were Masons, and if you know anything about the Masonic lodge, that's based on the Bible, Scripture, Christianity. And so, you know, they're trying to rewrite things, kind of like saying, Darwinism, we can't prove it, so now it's just an accepted fact. You know, anything that turns us away from our heritage, from what's really true, it seems what they're going after and attacking anything that's trying to bring us back to where we should be.
All right, Tim, appreciate the call. It's a he said, she said, Rachel Mitchell, the prosecutor, investigator from Arizona, who wrote a summary of, she was the one that asked the questions last week in the hearing. She sent her summary saying there's if this were in a court of law, understanding that it's not, it's a political issue, not a legal issue, she said it never would go to court. In fact, every legal expert we've had on has said the same thing. All right, let's go to Carol. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Tony, as far as time, it's well past time. Democrats have been doing everything they can to stall this and slander and malign a man of character. And I listened yesterday as I think it was Russ. Your fill-in sometimes, or it may have been you, the former U.S. attorney and his comments about Christine Ford's testimony. And
that was Geneva we had on yesterday talking about that.
It was like corroborating exactly what I have felt. And I've watched her testimony several times. And it just, to me, it always looked like it was an act. And I just think that I am praying that our Republican senators will do the right thing and confirm Judge Kavanaugh. and get him seated on the bench and get this behind us.
I would agree with you. I think the vast majority are. There's just one or two that are in question. Carol, thanks so much for the call. I also hope that, as I mentioned to Senator Inhofe earlier, that as we've had this supplemental FBI investigation, number seven, into Kavanaugh's background, that there's now in the questioning, as I understand, I've not read the report, it's not been released to the public, as we talked about, some senators are suggesting that portions of it be released, but those individuals who were named as potential witnesses or that they saw what Dr. Ford claimed happened have said, no, not at all, not me. It is appearing that there may have been some perjury before the committee. Now, understand that when you testified, they both were sworn in. Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Ford both were sworn in, meaning they swore to tell the truth. And to lie is to perjure oneself, which is a criminal offense. And if there was any perjury, any deception, intentional deception, or if the attorneys didn't tell her, as some have suggested that they didn't tell her or communicate to her everything from the committee, I don't think that this should be forgotten, because unless there is a standard, well, there is a standard, it's called the rule of law, but unless that is upheld, let me tell you what, the next vacancy on the court, I mean, this is just a slight shift, because as we've talked about here before, Anthony Kennedy was, you know, like half the time with the conservative constitutionalist on the court and half the time with the liberal, you know, activist on the court. The next vacancy most likely will be replacing, you know, one of those on the hard left, like Ginsburg, which would clearly be a change to the court. That will be World War III. And so I think it's important now that you establish the fact that, no, we're not going to sweep under the rug people who lie or make false accusations to try to derail this process. I think that message needs to be sent very loud and very clear. All right, let's go to Linda. Linda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. I would be interested in finding out what the other justices of the Supreme Court are thinking about this mess. Are they allowed to speak on it?
They generally do not. You do not hear. There is a strict standard of conduct with the judges, but there's part of it is just an unwritten rule that they don't weigh in on the political issues. I'm sure. Well, I say sure. I would venture to say that most of them are not really thrilled about all of this. They are uncomfortable. Many of them are uncomfortable with how the court has been politicized. Now, that's not all of them, so I'm speaking very broadly, but that's of their own making. And I don't think, especially the activists on the court, they don't want the American people to know what's going on. And I think this is in many ways, this is a very healthy debate to have. Now, I think it's more successful and more when it's civil and when it's conducted by the rules, it's better. But I think overall, it's healthy that we have this debate. Are we going to be a nation that is ruled by the courts and the courts determine our policy, or is it going to be by the people and their elected representatives? Linda, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Stacy. Stacy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that while there's just a kind of a parallel, certainly not an exact same experience, but we're dealing with at our level. My brother was murdered in 2004, and after 13 years, the Department of Mental Health has said that he's competent, and they were going to release him back into the community. And the prosecuting attorney that where this incident happened said, no, I have a warrant for him. We're going to get him back into custody. And then they retracted his competency, saying that he was not competent. Well, to, long story short, after a year and five evaluations, well, they found him competent. And I just feel like going through that, this experience, and also hearing Kavanaugh's, I think as a layperson, we think so much, wow, the courts, especially the Supreme Court, and, you know, courts in general. I have an intuition of, I have respect for that. It's just so, it's there's something to be cherished there, and something just on a different level. I'm sorry, I'm losing my words, but I just feel like they're making a mockery of things. I mean, and I just feel that just all of the systems are very flawed, and I don't feel like justice is being upheld. And we do hear about that and see about that in Revelation. So that does give me hope that, you know, the Lord is absolutely within all this. And what I just kind of keep praying through this whole Kavanaugh situation is that any demonic strongholds, evils that are taking root and having plans there, I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over those, and that those plans will be thwarted, and that their evil plans will be thrown aside, and truth will come to light. And Lord, you know, by the grace of God, and Lord willing, we'll see Kavanaugh appointed to his rightful position.
Well, without question, Stacey, we need to be praying for the court, for the Senate as they make this decision, and our nation as we see, you know, clearly that we are a divided nation. Stacey, thanks so much for the call and for the insightful comments. You know, the court, and I look back to this even as a police officer when I would, you know, had cases that would go to court. And, you know, the court has always been kind of seen, you know, judges were to dispense justice blindly. And so one of the reasons they've been guarded against politics is that politics shouldn't play a role in it. It should be based on the facts. And you go back, you know, to Genesis, or you go back to Moses when he was instructed by his father-in-law Jethro to select rulers to help him make decisions, as many of these cases were brought to him between the children of Israel. And so he looked for men who feared God, who were not men who were easily drawn in for financial gain, but they were honest men who feared God. And I think that's what we're looking for in our courts today. And I do think that our courts, through its activism in crafting policy, forcing policies on the nation, they have lowered their standard or their standing with the American people. And I do think that it's a long road, but I think this president is appointing the right type of men and women to the courts to restore the court to that proper standing. And I do actually hope that, although I think we're at a low, I hope we can't get much lower, but I hope in our politics and our political discourse that we can return back to or move toward a place where those in our elected offices are respected because they're honorable men and women. All right, folks, out of time for today. Thanks so much for joining us. Let me encourage you to pray, vote, and stand. Go to PrayVoteStand.com. Take the pledge to pray for our nation, vote in the upcoming election, and stand for biblical values, no matter what. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.